me, and this song describes the different, the main incarnations of Lord Krishna, and describes the appearance of Lord Ramachandra, or the mission of Lord Ramachandra, as the activities of Lord Krishna, who came in this wonderful form. So I'll read the translation, then we can sing it. O Keshava, O Lord of the universe, O Lord Hari, who have assumed the form of Ramachandra, all glories to you. In the battle of Lanka, you destroy the ten-headed demon, Ravana, and distribute his heads as a delightful offering to the presiding deities of the ten directions, headed by Indra. This action was long desired by all of them, who were much harassed by this monster. Later on we will discuss the meaning and other aspects, so now we will sing. Vir Baba Mahotsava ki te Nitai Gaur Premanande. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Mukam karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yatkripa tamaham vande shri gurum dinataranam paramananda madhavam shri chaitanya mishvaram. So today is most auspicious day, the appearance day of Lord Ramachandra. And it's a day actually of celebration, great celebration. We can imagine how it was. Maybe we cannot imagine. We can imagine, but we cannot really imagine how it was in Ayodhya Dham, the capital city of Lord Ramachandra, where he was born. How big the celebration was when Lord Ramachandra appeared after Maharaj Dasharatha, his father, was waiting for many, many years. He didn't have a son, and the Lord decided to appear in the family of Maharaj Dasharatha because he was a great devotee, a pure devotee, and also because the devatas, the rulers of the universe who work for Krishna. They are rulers in the universe, but they work for Bhagavan. Bhagavan, God, is one, and then there are rulers who work for him. This is explained in many parts of Bhagavad Gita. So the rulers of the universe were having trouble with a great Rakshasa, a great demon named Ravana. The name Ravana means he who makes others to cry. Other people cry because of him. Since the beginning, he was actually a great tyrant. He, like Ravana, Hiranyakashipu, Shishupal, they are the great tyrants in the history of the material universe. So it is most auspicious to dedicate today's, the whole time, the whole day, to remember the transcendental pastimes, character, mission of Sri Ramachandra. And this is what we want to do. In this morning class, we will have two sections. I'll speak some time reflecting on Lord Ramachandra's character, also Ravana's character, to see what we can learn from his activities, and also Srimati Sita Devi's character. Srimati Sita Devi, as you know, is the eternal consort of the Supreme Lord. It is his pleasure potency, his personal energy. And then His Holiness Prahladananda Maharaj will speak about whatever he feels inspired to speak on Lord Ramachandra. We didn't want to miss the opportunity that Maharaj is here the last day to hear from him. So it will be more or less, I'll speak about 20 minutes or so, 20, 25 minutes. Today is fasting, so we can fast. We fast from food, but we don't fast from kata, so we can go a bit longer. Please don't mind if I get enthusiastic. So I will read one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, 9th canto. As you know, the transcendental pastimes of Lord Ramachandra is described in the Ramayana by Valmiki Muni. There are many different versions of the Ramayana, but Valmiki's version is the original and the most authorized version. And as you know, the Ramayana has been sung since time immemorial for many, 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 many thousands and thousands of years. The Ramayana has been sung. The glory of the Lord is unlimited and is eternal. Therefore, Sri Shukadeva Goswami in Srimad Bhagavatam, he has given a summarized version of the Ramayana in three chapters, actually two chapters, and the third chapter is just a summary of the dynasty of Lord Ramachandra's sons, Kusha and Lava. So I'll read three verses from chapter 11, 9th canto, verses 21, 22, and 23. The chapter is entitled Lord Ramachandra Rules the World. Yasya malam nripa sadashu yashodunapi gayanti agaknam rishayadiki ipendrapatam tamna kapala vasupala kirita yushta Padam Bhujam Raghupatim Sharanam Prapadye. Srila Prabhupada's translation, and later on purport. Lord Ramachandra's spotless name and fame, which vanquish all sinful reactions, are celebrated in all directions, like the ornamental cloth of the victorious elephant that conquers all directions. Great saintly persons like Markandeya Rishi still glorify his characteristics in the assemblies of great emperors like Maharaj Yudhishthira. Similarly, all the saintly kings and all the demigods, including Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, worship the Lord by bowing down with their helmets. Let me offer my obeisances unto his lotus feet. Saya ispristo vidrishova samvisto nugato piva kosalaste yajustanam yatraga chanti yoginaha. Lord Ramachandra returned to his abode, to which bhakti yogis are promoted. This is the place to which all the inhabitants of Ayodhya went after they served the Lord in his manifest pastimes by offering him obeisances, touching his lotus feet, fully observing him as a father-like king, sitting or lying down with him like equals, or even just accompanying him. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Janma Karma Chamedeviam, Evam Yoveti Tatvataha, Tyakvadeham Punar Janma, Naiti Mameti Swarjuna. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. Here this is confirmed. All the inhabitants of Ayodhya who saw Lord Ramachandra as citizens, served him as servants, sat and talked with him as friends, or were somehow or other present during his reign, went back home, back to Godhead. After giving up the body, the devotee who becomes perfect in devotional service enters that particular universe where Lord Ramachandra or Lord Krishna is engaged in his pastimes. Then, after being trained to serve the Lord in various capacities in that Prakata Lila, the devotee is finally promoted to Sanatana Dhamma, the supreme abode in the spiritual world. This Sanatana Dhamma is also mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Parastat Tasmat Tu Bhavanyo Vyakto Vyaktat Sanatana. One who enters the transcendental pastimes of the Lord is called Nitya Lila Pravishta. To understand clearly why Lord Ramachandra returned, it is mentioned herewith that the Lord went to that particular place where the bhakti yogis go. The impersonalists misunderstand the statements of Srimad Bhagavatam to mean that the Lord entered his own effulgence and therefore become impersonal. But the Lord is a person and his devotees are persons. Indeed, the living entities like the Lord were persons in the past, they are persons in the present, and they will continue to be persons even after giving up the body. This is also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. And another verse, Purushora Macharitam Shravanair Upadarayan Anrishamsya Parorajan Karma Bandhair Vimuchyate. O King Parikshit, anyone who orally receives the narrations concerning the characteristics of Lord Ramachandra's pastimes will ultimately be freed from the disease of envy and thus be liberated from the bondage of fruitive activities. My notes to focus, otherwise I may go all over the place. I may still do, but the notes will help. So I wanted to reflect a little bit on Lord Ramachandra's appearance day and his transcendental character. Lord Ramachandra is known as Maryada Purushottama. Maryada Purushottama means the Supreme Lord who strictly follows the principles of human behavior, of human culture, divine culture, Varnashram culture. And he shows the example of how to be a good son, a good disciple, a good husband, a good leader, a perfect king, Recently we were in Cabo Verde and we gave the Prime Minister a copy of the Ramayana. And the idea was to establish the connection that Lord Ramachandra was the perfect social leader. So every ruler, every prime minister, president, king, GBC, temple president, every leader in society should follow in the footsteps of Lord Ramachandra. He was taking care of the citizens like if they were, as if they were his own sons. And he was ready to take their feedback, ready to listen to what were their concerns, and ready to respond to them according to the principles of Dharma, not whimsically, but according to what scriptures say, how a human being should act. Lord Ramachandra's example teaches us the principle of Sanatana Dharma. The duties of religion in order to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's God himself, but he's coming as Naradeva, the perfect human being, the king, the perfect king, who sets an example for everyone else to follow. And we see, for example, when his father, Maharaj Dasharath, due to the promise he had given to one of his queens, Kaikeyi, that he gave her two boons because she saved his life in a battle. And she said, I'll ask you when I need it. No, I don't need it, but when I need it, I ask you. Also, we learn many things from human behavior. And we can learn also many practical things from Ramayana. When somebody tells you, don't give me it now, I'll ask you when I need it. Watch out. Anyway, you may have to say, okay, that's if I promise something, I should fulfill my promise. But this is what happened to Maharaj Dasharath. Kaikeyi, influenced by her servant who was affected by evil forces, affected her consciousness. Normally, the servant, the hunchback servant, Mantara was her name. She will have not acted like that. By the will of the Lord, by the influence of evil forces, in order to perform the pastimes of the Lord, she became very badly influenced. And just shortly before, Lord Ramachandra was going to be crowned as the king of Ayodhya, Maharaj Dasharath was about to retire. Mantara influenced Kaikeyi and convinced her to use her two boons to ask Maharaj Dasharath to make her own son, Kaikeyi's son, Bharata, the king, and to send Lord Ramachandra to the forest for 14 years. Just imagine what a cruelty. The perfect prince, beloved by everyone, so much beloved that the whole Ayodhya, when he was sent to the forest, the whole Ayodhya went with him. And only because he ordered them to go back, they went back. But they didn't want to go back. He was so much dear by everyone. But still, he was asked to go to the forest for 14 years. And Maharaj Dasharath couldn't bear such a punishment. For him was, actually he was feeling even more punished by the punishment, by the absolutely unfair punishment he was giving his son on the day of his coronation as a king. He was actually feeling even more punished. He was feeling the pain even much more. Lord Ram, he didn't feel any pain. He showed the perfect son, the perfect Dharma. His father ordered him, you go to the forest, this is the wish of your mother. And he took it without the least resentment. He took it with pleasure. And in this way, he shows the example on how to please superiors. The Lord knew the situation. The Lord knew his father didn't want any ill for him. Even he knew Kaikeyi, she was a victim, victim herself. She was influenced by the lower modes of material nature. Ultimately, by his will, ultimately, even though there is free will, but ultimately to us, by his will. So he didn't blame her. Similarly, we can learn not to blame people who act as instrument of our karma, our suffering, but to accept it as to accept it as it comes with pure consciousness, as Lord Ramachandra exemplified. Then his wife, Srimati Sita Devi. Srimati Sita Devi is the example. She is the eternal consort of the Lord. She is therefore Ladini Shakti. She is the owner of pure bhakti, pure love of Godhead. He is the Lord's energy. All the energies of the Lord ultimately emanate from her. And material nature emanates from Sita Devi, from the Lord's eternal consort. And she accompanied him. She said, of course, I'll follow you wherever you go. I'll go to the forest. They were actually recently, not long ago, married. So she was going to become the queen, and she decided to follow her husband wherever he went. So in this way, she teaches the example of the perfect chaste wife and the perfect chaste devotee of the Lord. Both examples are there. How the devotee of the Lord will follow the Lord wherever he goes. Wherever the Lord, whatever test the Lord gives to the devotee will be willing to serve the Lord no matter what. That is the teachings, the example given by Srimati Sita Devi. And even though when she was kidnapped, also by the Lord's Yogamaya potency, by his own Lila potency, the Lord created a situation in which Srimati Sita Devi was kidnapped by it's the terrible demon Ravana, who was more condemned than urine, the Bhagavatam says. Ravana, he was condemned like urine. There are two types of sons, Srila Prabhupada explains. One is named Putra. Putra means the son who will act so religiously that he will liberate his ancestors, if need be, from hellish life. Putra. And then there is Mutra. Mutra means urine. Both come from the same part of the body. But one is glorious and brings glory to the family, and the other is actually brings disgrace to the family. So from Ravana we can learn what not to do. He's the role model of what we shouldn't do. Since the beginning he was harassing people, harassing women, harassing other human beings, harassing other rulers. He was not honoring the share of other rulers on not just on Earth, but all over the universe. Harassing the demigods, killing, raping, torturing, performing all kinds of sinful activities. Therefore, he is known as Ravana, he who makes cry other living beings. So we should learn what not to do. What not to do. How not to exploit others. Whenever we have a position of responsibility, father, teacher, social leader, we should not misuse it to mistreat other people, to exploit others, either physically, psychologically, sexually, socially, in whatever way. We should never use the positions of responsibility we have to mistreat others. If we do so, we will find the same destiny found by Ravana. We will find destruction. Ravana was so powerful that he was feared even by the demigods in the universe. The demigods didn't dare to confront him. And therefore they asked Lord Vishnu to descend to Earth and to destroy him. Despite the fact that Ravana was so powerful, he had many boons to attain power. He had worshipped Lord Shiva and he had performed different sacrifices. He was the son of a Brahmana, actually. He was coming from a good family. But he misused whatever boons he received. And therefore, instead of receiving further boons, he received curses. And everybody was cursing him. Everybody. Whoever he met, they will curse him. When he met Vedavati, actually, she was practicing asceticism in the Himalayas. She was a saintly woman, very beautiful. He became attracted to her and he wanted to bring her to his harem as a wife. He didn't honor her desire. So when he touched her, took her by the hair with her hand, she had mystic powers. She was actually the potency of the Lord, had appeared as Vedavati. So she cut with her hand, she cut her hair, and then she cursed him, because you touch me, I don't want to live anymore. But I will come back again, and I will cause your destruction. I will take birth on earth. So she burned her body to ashes by her yoga power. So like that, he also in Ayodhya, I forgot the name of the king, a king many years before Lord Ramachandra, he tortured the king. He, even after killing him, he actually treated him in a very abusive way, not in a respectful way, even though the king was dying. But he was badly abusing him. And then he cursed him that in this very same place, it will take birth a king who will destroy you. And he was very proud because as a Rakshasa, he was superior to human beings. So like that, he was cursed again and again when he forced Ramba, the heavenly Apsara, married to Nalakuvara, the son of Kuvera. Nalakuvara also cursed him that if you ever dare to force any other woman into sexual relationship, you will die immediately. And therefore Ravana, he was very careful. And when he kidnapped Sita Devi, he didn't dare to force, but he was trying to force himself, but he was trying to seduce her. Srimati Sita Devi, as a loyal devotee and a loyal wife of her lord and husband, she was totally fixed, feeling very much the separation of the Lord. And she couldn't bear to live separated from him. But she was hoping that the Lord will come and rescue her. And so it happened. I will stop here. We'll finish with two verses and then hand over to His Holiness Prabhupada Maharaj, and then we can hear more. These are two verses. One verse is quoted in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's from Ramayana. And this is a very encouraging verse for us. It's a verse spoken by Lord Ramachandra so that we can get courage in our devotional service. How grateful the Lord is, the perfect master, the perfect God, we can say also, is the perfect Supreme Lord. he quoted this verse when Vibhishana, Ravana's good brother, came to surrender unto him. And when he came, all the rulers, Sugriva, Hanuman, all the leaders of the monkey and bear army, who helped Lord Ramachandra to conquer Lanka and to finish with Ravana, they were suspicious of Vibhishana. They said, he's a demon, let's make him a prisoner, let's kill him, they were saying different things, they had different opinions. But then the Lord quoted this verse. He said, Sakriteva prapannoyas tavasmiti chayachate abhayam sarvada tasmai dadam yetat vratam mama. It is my vow that if one, only once, seriously surrenders unto me, saying, my dear Lord, from this day I am yours, and prays to me for courage, I shall immediately award courage to that person, and he will always remain safe from that time on. This is the promise of the all-merciful Lord. And then there is another verse attributed to Sri Bilba Mangal Thakur, very, very beautiful. Some of you may have read it. Ramo nama babu bahum tatabala siteti hum tan pitur vacha pancha vati vane viharatas tasya karatravana Nidrartam janaki katam iti harer humkarata shrimvata saumitre kvadanur danur danuriti vyagragira pantuna. Mother Yashoda is telling Sri Krishna, child, a story. There was once a king named Ram. This is Lord Krishna replying. He's about to sleep. So he's His wife was Sita. When they went to the Panchavati forest, by his father's order, Ravana kidnapped her. The story was intended to put him to sleep, and Hari was responding, as he listened. But upon hearing about Janaki, he suddenly jumped up and said, "Lakshman, my bow, where is my bow?" May these agitated words protect us all. Shri Ramachandra Bhagavan ki jai.